Welcome to episode 137 of the Bobbycast, where we talk about our favorite movies with music. And there really weren't any other rules, except that the movie had to have music. It could be about music, could be a documentary, could be just anything. And I brought in my fellow music sort of expert. I feel like we're the same. Neither one of us are really experts, but we're both music nerds.
Yeah, yeah.
Eddie's here. So before we get started, let me talk about my Sleep Number bed. And oh my goodness, if you have a Sleep Number, do you even have a Sleep Number, Eddie?
No, when am I going to get one of those?
I don't know.
We'll talk about that.
I don't know. You should demand one to go through this. Maybe you've considered a Sleep Number, but you thought you couldn't afford one. But I don't know. Right now's a good time. There's never been a better time to go into a Sleep Number store where all the beds are on sale during the biggest sale of the year. My Sleep Number setting is 30, and my partner's is, well, I don't have one yet.
Not yet. Gosh, I can really use one, though.
A partner or a bed? Sleep Number.
No, I got a partner, just the bed.
You can actually feel how it contours to your neck, shoulders, back, and hips for more proper spinal alignment in the new Sleep Number 360 smart bed. It's effortlessly comfortable. And right now, biggest sale of the year where all the beds are on sale. Plus, save 50% on new Sleep Number 360 limited edition smart bed. Now through Labor Day, you'll only find Sleep Number in the 550 Sleep Number stores nationwide. Find one nearest you, sleepnumber.com/bones. Sleepnumber.com/bones to find one near you. And so here we are. Now, what I did is I made a top five list of my favorite musical movies. What did you do?
I did the same, and I didn't really know the rules. So
there were no rules.
I know, but when you told me we were going to do this, I was like, oh, well, do I do documentaries or what? I even considered some that were just like not even really about music, but musical.
Would have been fine.
So what I did was I ended up just finding movies that kind of I grew up with and shaped my musical life.
Well, I'll tell you where this all started from is Eddie texts me, I guess, I don't know the first time you did, but then you reminded me last week. You said, hey, I saw this documentary called Anvil.
Yeah, The Story of Anvil.
The Story of Anvil. Yeah. And I was sitting at home, I guess it was Sunday night, and I had a little time, got back into town, and I was like, I want to watch that musical documentary. And it's about a metal band from the 80s. And here's some of their music right here. This is called Metal on Metal from Anvil. Here's it. So, not something that I would listen to, but I'm always curious about stories of bands. And I watched on Netflix. It's free. If you have Netflix isn't free, but Netflix feels free, right?
It does feel
free. Like,
you
pay for everything, but it still feels free. Someone's like, is on Netflix. I don't watch about the Netflix. I only watch things I have to pay for. But yeah, we're paying for it.
Right.
How stupid are we? I just thought this is the first time I ever thought about that. I'm like,
we forget.
Yeah, like I'm like, no, I'm not gonna pay $2.99 for a movie on iTunes. I watch it for free on Netflix. Nope, $12.99. Yeah, I've got to be an idiot.
Yeah, now we all are. We fall for it. All of us.
So it's the story of this band who had a ton of promise in the 80s.
Yes,
and it shows them with Bon Jovi and Twisted Sister, and they're a Canadian metal band. And it's them trying to make it back years later.
They had one huge successful show, and I think it was a festival. And I mean, they rocked it. Everyone remembers that performance. And people like, I guess, guys from Slash is in it. And just like prominent 80s metal guys that we all know are talking about, man, Anvil rocked. They were amazing. So much talent, the energy they had. But then they disappeared.
And they never broke up. They just kept trying, and they just kept sucking.
So, do they? I forget because I saw it a while back. But do they ever go into why they didn't make it? Was it like failed like record deals?
So,
or
yeah, they made like 12 records.
Okay,
they kept making records, but the only record they had that was good was with that one producer that you meet. And we're not spoiling anything. And yes, but just watch it. It's fun. If you like music, you don't have to like metal because I don't like metal.
No, I don't really care for it either.
But how long ago did you watch it? And why did you remind me of it if it was that long ago?
Because I was watching our free service Netflix and I was just going through the movies and I saw that it was on there. I'm like, dude, I remember that. It was such a good documentary that I saw, I don't know, 6-7 years ago.
We could break this in. We could do our top five list and we could actually break it into just off the top of our head. We could go into the documentary category.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's Anvil again. If you like metal, I don't know if it's any good or not, but watch Anvil, The Story of Anvil.
That's right, yeah.
On
Netflix.
Yeah,
for free.
Public channel Netflix. Mm-hmm. So here it is. Here's Metal on Metal again, just so you can, yeah. But that's what stirred this idea for this actual podcast. So I was like, hey, let me call Eddie and we'll talk about it. So I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll go five, then four, then three, then two, then one.
Perfect.
And who knows, we may have some of the same movies, but don't reveal that it's on your list.
I won't.
Like if I hit it. Don't. Okay, so why don't you start us off at your number five musical movie, Eddie?
My number five that shaped my career in music, my love for music, is La Bamba.
Oh, okay.
Like, this is one that is just in the family. Like, everyone knew Richie Valens.
La Bamba. I've never seen it, by the way.
All right. Can we pause the podcast and you go watch it and we'll start over? How have you not seen La Bamba?
Hold on. And listen, I know the song.
Thank you, Mike D.
But I think you two, growing up in a Mexican household,
yes.
I think it was different for you that you had to watch it.
This was
It'd
our...
be like somebody from Arkansas and me not watching
Johnny Cash.
Or just a documentary about a big Arkansas person. Okay. I would watch it because I would feel closer to him because of the culture I grew up in.
Yeah.
So don't judge me. I think it's a big movie. But I don't think as many people...
Get out. Everyone knows the scene of like...
Oh, I know the scene. When she's running through it and the clotheslines. She's running... Johnny!
She's crying. No, Bob. His name's Richie.
Oh,
his name's Richie.
I know.
And
kidding.
It's his brother, Bob.
I've never been more offended.
I know. Johnny.
That part I'm kidding about because I have seen...
Yeah.
But I... No, I haven't. Is the... And the guy's in it. The famous guy.
Yeah, Lou Diamond Phillips.
There you go.
Lou Diamond Phillips. He's the lead character in it. And which he by the way, is not Mexican-American. He is Filipino.
Is that right?
That's correct, which is mind-blowing for like all us Latinos because we thought watching it was like, oh, he's one of us.
Does
like,
he pull it off?
Yeah, he pulls it off. Right, Mike D?
I didn't know till later, yeah.
No, he plays a perfect Richie Valens. You know, like it was what we assumed was Richie Valens. And just so you know, I grew up, I'm a Texan Mexican, which is different from a California Mexican. Different cultures. The way we grew up is different than the California Latino culture, which is just a little more... I don't know, man. You watch La Bamba, and that's them.
That's California.
That's California Latinos.
Okay.
And so, and we didn't really know that, you know, watching it. But I learned a lot about a Mexican guy going into an American industry, which is, you know, rock and roll, man, which is crazy. And how accepted he was for me was huge because I grew up in a town where it was all Mexicans. We were all Mexican-Americans. Maybe if a few white people moved in the neighborhood, we noticed them. Everyone noticed, oh, yeah, those are the Fowlers, you know, and that's how it was. And so La Bamba to me was eye-opening that, oh, you can make it in a white America. Rock and roll was pure, you know, this kind of America that we weren't used to being in.
Did that inspire you as a musician?
Oh, yeah, dude.
It did?
Big time. I remember going to the store, and all I wanted for Christmas was an electric guitar like Richie Valens. And I wanted the poster of Richie Valens' La Bamba movie.
Well, that really affected you, huh?
Yeah, big time. And I got the poster, not the guitar, for Christmas.
Number 5 on Eddie's list is La Bamba.
Yeah.
Okay, number 5 for me is a movie. It's definitely not a documentary, but it was so musical and it was a comedy at the same time. And it was a bit about Before Me.
Okay. I'm trying to think of what you're going for.
And I watched it. And the music was so – and by the way, it may have been before I was born. I don't have to look at the year. One of the actors in this movie had a number one record, a number one movie, and a number one TV show all at the exact same time. The first person to ever do that. And he's one of the main people in this movie.
Hmm.
Any idea?
I mean, I'm thinking Elvis, but it's not
Elvis.
No,
it's not. It's bordering on the year that I was born.
Is it Frankie Valli?
No.
Okay,
it's not real, but it did turn into something afterward, meaning it turned into a kind of an entity because of the movie. 1980s when it came out, The Blues Brothers.
The Blues Brothers.
Yeah. Yeah. Need somebody.
All right, confession. Everybody. I've seen part of Blues Brothers.
Are you kidding
me? I've never seen the whole movie of Blues Brothers.
Blues Brothers is such a white guy thing. Yeah, it's so funny.
This is the polar opposite.
It is. Cultures collide.
Yes.
It's such a white guy movie, too. It's I don't even want to tell you. I don't want to spoil it.
The part I remember watching is where they pull up to there's a bar, and they're about to play, but the band that's supposed to be playing is late, and they're on the bus. Do you remember them?
Yeah. So, listen, here's what I'm going to tell you about it. It's Dan Aykroyd and John Belushi.
Yeah.
And John Belushi was the guy who had Saturday Night Live was the number one show. This record was number one. And the movie was, I think the movie was Animal House, or maybe even this movie. But he had all three number one at the same week.
So was this their biggest hit? I don't remember. I mean,
no, Soul Man.
Man,
which wasn't their song, but they put it out and it was a big hit for them.
Really?
Yeah. So here's Soul Man from the Blues Brothers. Do you have Soul Man?
I do.
All right. Well, Soul Man was their biggest one over there. Yeah. There you go. The Blues Brothers at number 5 for me. All right. Number 4.
Number 4 for me is Pure Country.
Oh, wow.
George Strait became an actor. This was big. Like, we were all fans of George Strait, of course, growing up. But the fact that he was acting and he was in a movie about being George Strait, but his name wasn't George Strait. It was Dusty in the movie. He played. Have you ever seen Pure Country?
Yeah,
long time ago.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, and he's such a bad actor. Like, you know, George is, he's a great singer, but he can't act really. And he plays this, you know, this guy, Dusty, who's just a worn out country singer, man. He's tired of the smoke, the lights. It just ain't him.
Yeah, I've seen it a long time ago. Amy loves it and she quotes it.
Oh, dude, my brother and I would just quote everything from that movie.
And he's a bad actor?
Oh, he's terrible. He's terrible. But his co-star in it, I think in the movie is his brother, is John Doe. Do you know who John Doe is? He's like a punk band. Mike D probably knows him, but he's a legendary punk guy. I think his band was called Generation X maybe or something. Yeah. Yeah, and so John Doe, he's an actor. So two musicians who just do nothing but music are acting in this movie pretty mediocrely. Like, not good at all.
But is the movie good?
Yeah, the movie's great.
How do you have two main actors? Again, I watched when I was a kid. It had to be that old, right? It had to be like 90s.
Let's see. I have it right here. It's 92.
Okay. That seems about right.
92.
I think I saw it when it was new, but I haven't seen it since.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you, I was never much of a huge George Strait fan as a kid. You're from Texas.
Texas. He was king.
I mean, I was Garth Brooks, and there was almost this rivalry between the two.
Yeah?
Not between the two, but between the two in people's minds, especially where I grew up. You were kind of, you know, Garth or George Strait or, you know, Metallica or AC/DC. Yeah. Or you had to kind of pick.
Yeah.
Everything kind of had their rival. And so, yeah, I guess I didn't watch it.
I guess it was like 92, that time, I guess, when I did go through my country kick. Because I'm a really good friend that we grew up to, who we grew up together. We were, you know, rockers. Like, we loved rock. We loved 80s rock. And then he moved away to another town. And he came back to visit like 3 years later. And I was wearing Wranglers, you know, and Justin Ropers. And he was like, you know, hardcore in his like grunge flannel. And he's like, what is wrong with you? Like, what are you wearing? Dude, it's my Wranglers, man. It's my brush popper shirt. Garth wore this and Rope in the Wind, you know.
You were a hybrid of George and Garth.
Big time. And so, yeah, I guess Pure Country is important to me because that was in my country phase.
Okay.
Buddy Jackson.
Number four, I know that you've seen, and it may be on your list. I don't know. But Tom Hanks wrote it and directed it.
Oh, one of the best movies ever.
That Thing You Do at number four. Yeah. Every time you do that thing you do. Not a true story.
No, feels like one.
Yeah, the Wonders, man.
Yeah, Oneaters.
The Oneaters, yeah. Because they wanted to spell it, you know how the Beatles spelled their name a bit different, like, yes, the Beatles?
Like a beat.
And they wanted to spell the Wonders with O and E. The Oneaters.
The Oneaters. They're like, we have to change this. It's not going to work.
I don't know that I've seen that movie more than maybe twice at the most, but it's one of those that I enjoyed so much I didn't want to watch again.
Yeah.
Because I felt like if I watch it again, I may not enjoy it as much. It may not have held up. And that's such a fond memory of it. I feel that way a bit about 500 Days of Summer, which is not on the list.
Yeah.
Even though it has such a strong
soundtrack.
Musical, yeah, such a good soundtrack.
One of the best.
And, you know, whenever the Hall & Oates, you know,
And making my dreams come true.
On 500 Days of Summer. Like, yeah. I remember having such a good, almost like euphoric feeling, that little bird's flying around, be like, oh, this movie's so good. Unsuspect. That's how I feel about watching That Thing You Do. There was no buildup. I watched it and, like, it feels like the story of the Beatles, but like an American version. A bunch of idiot kids hearing themselves on the radio.
Isn't that sad that their story, their fictional story, it was pretty much the story of that generation for a lot of bands.
Yeah, I mean, even the Monkees tried to recreate, because the Monkees weren't real.
Mm-hmm. They're a TV show, right?
They were cast and then they became real. Much like the Blues Brothers, where it was a movie and then it became a thing.
Well, that's crazy because the Monkees have just great music.
The Monkees were cast. You know, Davy Jones is British.
Yeah.
Mickey Dolenz. Some of those guys aren't British. They're American.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, they're not all.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So, you know, he's speaking with accent.
Yeah.
And some of them aren't. But yeah.
Interesting.
And I love the Monkees. And it was from the 60s and maybe even the 70s. But here we go, walking down the street. We get the funniest looks from everyone we meet. Hey, we're the Monkees. Man, I used to love that show. Number four on my list is That Thing You Do with the Wonders. And that song. I mean, how about that song that we still know all the words to?
Mm-hmm. What, how many years later?
Well, the movie wasn't. I'm not just talking Monkees. I'm talking about from That Thing You Do.
The Wonders.
But that song was a kind of a hit song that came from
was
a movie.
It? Was it ever
ish.
On the radio or
yeah,
anything?
Yeah, ish.
Really? I don't remember that.
I don't know, but so much so, but we know the words.
Yeah.
Like, you. We even know the drum beat. Boom. Yeah. And think about other movies. You know, fictional.
Yeah.
What music?
We don't remember
What do you
that.
Remember from pure country music?
Heartland.
Okay, but you know a song? Remember a song
when
from
it?
When
you hear twin fiddles and a steel guitar.
But was that only from that movie?
Yes. Because the Pure Country soundtrack were just the George Strait tracks all for that movie only. Where the sidewalk ends.
Because I know this song.
Yeah, this was a Pure Country song.
But I remember it on the radio.
Mm-hmm. Because it's George Strait.
Okay, so he put it out as George Strait, not as...
No, the album's Pure Country. You can only find it on the Pure Country album.
But is he listed as George Strait?
Yeah.
Okay, his character's not George Strait.
No, Dusty.
So he's not listed as Dusty.
So I guess in the movie, he sings these as Dusty.
About,
the Heartland.
Yeah,
yeah,
I know the song.
But if you buy it at the store, or back then when you'd buy it at the store, the CD was Pure Country by George Strait.
Well, that's confusing. You can put it out as Dusty.
As Dusty?
Yeah. We're doing our top five movies, and we are now at Eddie's number three musical movie.
Ooh, this is one of my favorite biopics. I'm going to have to go with this. Even though Joaquin Phoenix makes me feel awkward when I watch him act.
Is that because later on he did awkward things, or is it because...
Just the way he acts. He's just weird to me.
Yeah?
He just acts weird, even when he played Johnny Cash in Walk the Line, which is my number three pick.
You thought he was weird in that? Because it's my number three pick, too.
Is it really?
Yeah, we're both number three, yeah. So we can talk about it together.
Yes, man. I don't know what it is. Just watching him act just makes me feel uneasy.
He's like peculiar movements?
Yes.
You know, I just don't watch acting. Like, I don't know a good actor or a bad actor. People give Ben Affleck crap for sucking.
Mm-hmm.
I'd give him all the Oscars for Armageddon.
You never watch a movie and then in the middle of it, you just kind of, oh, I forget that he's a character. I'm looking at Ben Affleck.
Only if it's someone whose fame supersedes the movie.
Yeah.
So
then you notice they're acting.
But, yeah, I don't though. I don't know that I've ever done that.
You know who I deal with all the time?
Or hold on, let me rephrase that. Or if it's someone whose fame as a non-actor, like if I were watching the movie that Harry Styles was in, You recommend I didn't watch it. The war movie?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Dunkirk.
When you watch Dunkirk, did you watch Dunkirk? Right?
Yes, I did.
And Harry Styles is in that.
Yes.
Are you like, that's One Direction?
Yes, that's Harry Styles.
That would be an instance.
And he's in war.
Right. That would be an instance where I'd be like, I can't do this because it's Harry Styles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I guess that would happen if any of the Friends casts were in movies.
And that's the trouble with getting typecast or having something so big. That's like Urkel.
No, he can't do anything.
No, if Urkel was starting to do a race car movie.
Oh, look, it's Urkel.
You'd be like, Urkel's driving a race car.
Win, go.
Right. So no. No, but Ben, I wouldn't notice acting unless it was someone who was a non-actor acting.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'm not.
Well, I guess as hard as it is for me to watch Joaquin Phoenix, dude, he nailed Johnny Cash. Like, nailed it. And that's kind of the thing with going back to La Bamba. Richie Valens nailed it. Joaquin Phoenix nailed Johnny Cash to me. Like, I never saw him, but I watched a lot of videos of him. And to sing like that, it's pretty amazing. When you're doing a biopic and you have to sing just like Johnny Cash.
That's true, too. The singing part of it. When you're singing and not as a fictional character, but you're having to sing
as a
real-life person. Who's Yeah, as a legend.
Yeah.
You're right about that.
What did you like about Walk the Line?
Going back and looking at a lot of the accuracy of a major motion picture, it didn't get everything exactly right, and it glossed over some of the really dark stuff. But I felt for one of those big-time Hollywood movies – where they just want it to be a story and kind of feel good. I thought it did a pretty good job.
Yeah.
In the 2 hours, at one, entertaining people that give no crap about country music, and also the people that do like country music, letting them feel a bit fulfilled as well. So I thought that was cool because I'm a Johnny Cash guy because he's from Arkansas. My grandma made me be a Johnny Cash fan. You know, that was one of the records she had of like 11 records, and she had a few Johnny Cash records. And he wasn't the legend to us. He was one of us. So
it's pretty amazing. That's got to be an interesting feeling.
But he was never the country music legend. It's weird to go where everyone's like, oh, Johnny Cash.
Yeah, Cash.
Like he's the king of all country. He was just one of the Arkansas people that made Arkansas people proud.
Interesting.
And my grandmother would talk about going to his concerts. People would hate him because he was playing rock and roll music.
Really?
Because that wasn't country. And I guess that's probably where all of my – kind of disdain for people who go, well, that's not country comes from.
Really?
Because she would tell me the stories how people would just react so negatively to him because what he was doing was not country. At the time when he started it, it wasn't country, and he kind of turned it over to making that country.
So what was your grandma's take on that?
She loved him.
Yeah.
I mean, he was
whatever he did.
Yeah, he was one of us.
Yeah.
He's one of us that made it out of living in the 60-mile radius that we all are forced to do. And it's not about fame or money, but we all are we are, and our roots are in that little town, and usually don't leave. Mm. And you're kind of proud of him because he left and came back. And that was cool.
And always represented
Arkansas. Always. Yeah. Yes, that was a cool thing. So, but yeah, think about that. Like Johnny Cash was, and you don't like to compare anyone to a legend because nobody current is legend status yet. But Johnny Cash, Garth Brooks went through it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you see people now, and I'm going to get crushed for saying this, but it could be people like a Sam.
Mm-hmm.
In 10 years, we look at Sam Hunt and go, remember when people were blowing up Sam Hunt,
yeah,
Sam Hunt,
tearing him up, yeah.
Or Florida Georgia Line.
Yeah.
And people, maybe people are like, that Florida Georgia Line. And you're like, weren't they nuts? And it could be, they may not be the people. It could be somebody else we don't know yet, sure, that does it. But that's the one common thing, is that there's always been something that isn't country that ends up turning everything else to country. So I always get irritated at that's not country people. I don't mind the that's for sure country people, but I don't like that's not country people.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't ever associate Johnny Cash with just country.
Oh,
ever.
You don't?
I don't. I don't.
And he's him and Elvis are the only two in the Rock and Roll and Country Music Hall of Fame.
I love that.
They're the only two. And I don't associate Elvis with country.
Yeah, he's the king of rock and roll.
That's so funny because I only associate Johnny Cash with hardcore country.
Yeah, maybe the hipsters changed that for me or something because.
You don't?
No.
He's not super country,
dude,
to you?
He's just music.
He's possibly the most country thing. Hank Sr., who I don't call Hank Sr. because I'm not cool. Hank Williams Sr.
Yeah.
He was one that my girl would listen to. But him and Johnny Cash are the super, super country guys.
Like, I'll never think Waylon is a rock and roll guy. I won't think Willie's a rock and roll guy.
Yeah, me either.
But Johnny, for some reason, is just like,
that's why.
He's just Johnny
Cash.
You're
right, because he's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
That's a number three on both of our lists.
Good one.
Let me talk about Quip for a second. It's the toothbrush that I have in my bathroom. And the thing is, most of us are brushing our teeth wrong and not for long enough. And we forget to change our brush on time. That's because most brands will sell these flashy gimmicks rather than better brushing, but not Quip, and Quip's very different. For starters, Quip's an electric toothbrush that's a fraction of the cost of bulkier brushes while still packing just the right amount of vibrations to help clean those teeth. Quip's built-in timer helps you clean for the dentist, recommended 2 minutes, and I love it, and everybody loves Quip. They were on Oprah's O-List, named one of Time Magazine's best inventions. Quip starts at $25. Go to getquip.com/bones. And you'll get the first refill pack for free. I do have a Quip. I love it. You get the Quip electric toothbrush. Getquip.com/bones. You got to do the slash bones. There's your refill pack for free. Getquip.com/bones. GETQUIP.com/bones. Getquip.com. I know you walk down the toothbrush aisle, you look around, all the options there, and you're like, what is happening? All the gimmicks. Let me just suggest Quip. Getquip.com/bones. All right, we're now to number two on our movies list. We had one similar there. And at the same time, so that made it funny.
That's pretty cool. That was your number three.
Yeah.
I like that.
I like it because we both get to hit it there. Hey, Mike, you've seen both of our lists.
Yeah.
Do we have any commons left?
I bet we don't.
No.
Okay, good.
I bet we don't.
Good. So we only had one movie that crossed. Yep. It was the same spot. All right, we're number two on the music movies, Eddie.
I went a little different on this one because this movie, again, just changed my look on this band. I never really even looked at this band before.
Ooh, I like this game.
But when I saw the movie, I learned so much about them, not even knowing how true any of it was, but how crazy this guy and his band lived their life. And how they could actually, how this guy could even function.
Is it a
documentary? No, it's a movie. It's a biopic. And how this guy can even function day to day, the way he lived.
Huh. I don't know.
The Doors.
Oh, yeah. Jim Morrison.
Val Kilmer. Val Kilmer played Jim Morrison. Dude, blew my mind. Like, it was so – I think Oliver Stone made the movie.
I know I watched it, but I haven't seen it in so long. I don't remember it. Is it that good to go back and watch it?
Oh, yeah. It's so
good.
Would
I like it now?
I think you would. I think you would. And here's the thing you watch about this stuff. Like, you don't know how true any of it is. You don't know what counts or who told the stories or why they decided to go with those stories or how they told or how they're telling them. But what I liked about this one is there were so many things they took from lyrics and his poetry and just turned it into whatever they wanted to they don't really know how he lived his life, but it's such a haze, and you can tell that he was high all the time and not knowing what anyone looked like when he was talking to them. It's trippy, dude. So trippy. And it makes you listen to the Doors music like, wow, how did these guys even function?
I watched an interview with Jim Morrison, probably from the late 70s, and he was talking about how he could see the future. And I'm like, all right, dude, it's messed up. And he's like, no, man, I can see the future. I can tell you right now what music is. And I'm watching, and he goes, what's going to happen is people are going to use computers to make music. Now, you have to think, this is the 70s. Nobody had a personal computer.
Yeah.
Especially no one was DJing, like, using computers.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, music is going to make beats, man. He's like, I can't believe you don't see it. He's doing a television talk show. To watch it now, you go, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Like, how was he predicting this before it was even able to be predicted?
They're going to have this thing called Facebook, man. Everyone's going to hate each other.
He's
on
like,
it,
you'll swipe left, and you'll find your it's like, it's called Tumble or something. I see it. It's a,
people aren't even going to go on dates anymore,
yeah,
man.
This is all, but now he was predicting that computers would make music, and my mind was blown. I watched like a year ago.
Yeah.
I'm mind blown because the dude, like, he saw it.
I think if you ask half of the people that are Doors fans or whatever, do you think Jim Morrison was like, you know, poetic and smart and like, or the other half are just like, he was just full of crap.
And probably a bit of both.
Yeah.
Because I don't think anyone's all smart, and I don't think anyone like that good and full and a message they present themselves. I don't think they're that full of crap either. Mm-hmm. It's hard to stay consistently full of crap. So all myself,
well, I think he was consistently full of crap. But everyone just saw it, like you said. He's just weird.
Yes. But I think that you and I are going to get this.
Go. I like this.
Well, no, it's just you don't create weird things unless you're weird. Mm-hmm. Weird. You don't create special things. We use the word special because weird can be looked at in a negative way. You don't create special things unless you have some sort of special mind that's able to do that. And that means you're not like other people. Because if you were, you wouldn't be able to create things other people couldn't create. And so, yeah, he's probably odd and nuts. Mm-hmm. But that's the beauty of being able to create this odd, nutty stuff that no one else can.
Yeah.
And you have to deal with both. I think Keith Urban was in today, and I mentioned it to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, hey, what's the deal? Like, you can't just create nutty stuff and only be nutty when you create music, but not anywhere else.
But I liked his answer. Some people. Mm. Not all.
Mm.
I think the only reason I agree with what he said and what I've always thought is some artists are just actors. You know, really, really good actors.
But isn't that an art in itself? Ooh. To be able to act and to portray yourself as something else? Meaning you're probably doing that in your personal life too? Like, it's all... You're just not able to be superbly nutty somewhere and not be superbly nutty somewhere else. You can't just have one arm that is Incredible Hulk arm and the rest of your body's me.
Hmm.
You know? You can't. There's something there. It's like...
Yeah.
So that's my... And Eddie and I have had this conversation for
a long time.
Years.
On and off for years.
And
I think we end up at the same spot. Not everyone bones.
Everyone really... I do. I think there's a bit... If you're creating something special, i.e. nutty, i.e. weird, i.e. amazing, part of you, and it's different, part of you is that nutty different all the time.
All right.
You don't just get to do it.
That's what you think.
That's right. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
It's special. number two on my list is one of the best biopics that I think I've ever seen. And I learned a lot about this guy. And the music was fantastic. And it's one of those like Walk the Line where you go, oh, he's got to live up to the music.
Hmm.
And this guy crushed the music.
Oh, dude, I think I know what you're talking about. I think I know who you're talking about, but I don't know who played him.
What movie do you think I'm talking about?
I think you're talking about the one about the King of Soul. What's his name?
James Brown was great.
James Brown.
It was great. It was not him, but that was a great one. That almost made my list. But I didn't think that the James Brown music in that movie was as good as...
This one?
Yeah.
Oh, got it.
What is it?
Jamie Foxx.
Ray. Yep.
Yeah.
Was awesome. Have you seen Ray?
Of course I've seen Ray. Dude.
The heroin in it blew my mind that he was a heroin addict like that.
What kind of... I mean, or just to even know someone with that many faults.
In jail?
Yeah. Like, he was kind of a bad dude.
Yeah.
You know, and I never thought that. I don't think anyone, just by listening to his music or watching him perform, you think, ooh, that could be a bad dude.
And it's because then we didn't know who was good or bad based on the information being fed. There was no information pipeline coming out.
Yeah.
You just had the pipeline was the records. That's it. And the TV appearances. Where now, Instagram, TMZ,
Everywhere.
People just tweeting a run-in with someone.
Sure.
He was a jerk. There was no way. He was banging chicks everywhere.
Yep. Yep.
And I say that all the artists were, yeah. for the most part. You know, there's – but it's just a different life.
So why do you think – let me ask you this. Why do you think it's okay in these biopics to just let it all out once they die? Like, who makes that decision? And, like, do you think their kids are kind of like, I don't want them – my dad being portrayed like that, even though he kind of was that way.
I think sometimes there are issues where that happens. There was one recently – I'm trying to think of the movie – where the family was like, we don't sign off on this.
Mm-hmm.
But – you don't have to sign
because that was like what I felt like it was full exposure.
But it also you have to think that it makes a better movie.
Yeah.
So the people that are making the movie want to put and they want to make the best movie. They're not out to win an award for the most accurate biopic.
Right.
Like that's
right.
the thing.
Right, right.
That as a consumer, we have to realize that they want it to be accurate because they want people to say, wow, look how real life this movie was. But they don't get an award for that. They want it to be a great movie.
Right.
And the way to make a great movie is through the story. And if you can really share some things that you're fascinated by through this story that also happen to be real, that makes the better movie. It's all about the best movie and making the money. It all goes back to money.
Yeah.
So you don't have to have permission to tell someone's story. There are a lot of unauthorized, even biographies of people.
Was Marvin Gaye the one you were thinking of they didn't sign off on?
Yeah, it's still being made.
Pretty recently. Yeah.
Yeah, and his family. Yeah, it was. That's exactly who it was.
And his family was like, no, we're not signing off on this.
Or maybe they haven't signed off yet, but it doesn't matter fully, right?
Like, I'd love to hear that real story, too, anyway. Just the dad and their whole relationship. And it just seemed like he had a tough life and a lot of stuff that he had to deal with, you know, outside of his music.
A fascinating thing to me with the bios, and we'll go to the book for a second. It's not music, but the Steve Jobs biography. Mm-hmm. Have you read it?
No.
It's like a million pages.
I don't really read.
But it's really – it's great, right? And it takes a minute and it's boring at times. But Steve Jobs had this guy write this book about him. And he said, find it all out. Mm-hmm. Write it all. I don't even want to look at it until you finish it and it's about to be – it's published. Like everything you find, put in the book. Talk to my daughter who I abandoned forever. She's about to come out with a book too. All of it. The bad, the worse, some of the good, and I want it all to exist. And he was sick at the time, too. And so he went and had someone write an unauthorized biography that he authorized, meaning he didn't have to authorize it as it was going. He wanted it all out there, and it was like, once it's done, then I will go back over and read it. I believe that's
what it's like. But isn't that a little different when you know you're dying?
Yeah, I'm not saying – absolutely. I'm just saying
– like, hey, if I know I'm going to die – Bones, let it out.
That's even different than being alive. Like, that's like the middle ground one. That's mm-hmm. the weird it about is. That. But I think they just want to make good movies.
Yeah.
Just going back to Ray, I think you put all that stuff in. It makes for a better – it makes a better redemption story because at the end of Ray, he's playing the Super Bowl.
Yep, and you feel for him.
Yeah.
You understand
and
what he went
through.
And it
makes him human.
Yep.
That's a great point. And it makes – because we all have humongous faults and flaws and we all are awesome and we all suck. And when we see someone else that we look at as being amazing, also having really tough
issues.
Troubles,
yeah.
You go, oh, well, I felt so bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like even to the great ones, they have troubles too. So good number point. Two for me, it's Ray. You're probably going to hate my number one.
Oh, no. What is it?
Anyway, it gets so stupid.
Oh, great.
What is your number one musical movie of all time?
Dude, my number one all time. This is just the anthem of my life. Everything I've loved about music. Like
what? Everything?
I do. So Cameron Crowe.
I got it. All right, yeah,
this is a funny story. When I was in college, I knew I wanted to do something, you know, in movie making or something. I ended up being a video guy, but something, you know, along those lines. And I wanted to contact Cameron Crowe because of this movie.
You can say what it is. If you say Cameron Crowe, we know what it
do
is.
Do you?
Yeah, of course.
Almost Famous.
Yeah.
I mean, so I did email Cameron Crowe. And I reached out, and I told him I wanted to work for him and all that. And long letter of it, and I never heard anything back. So
I got to tell you, I liked it. I didn't love it.
Oh, dude, Almost Famous?
And I probably because of that reaction. If you hear a movie's awesome before you see it, you have awesome expectations.
Oh.
It's very much The Hangover for me. I really like The Hangover a lot, but people told me it was the greatest movie ever. There's no way it could meet the expectations set. And Mike, did you watch Almost Famous?
I have.
Did you love it?
No.
I didn't either.
There was
really?
A lot of hype on that
yeah.
one.
Yep.
It's a lot of people's favorite movie.
I love that it was his story of when he was a kid, except the band was fictional. So he was, you know, the writer of the script and the director of the movie, but his life was that little boy who was hired by Rolling Stone magazine, and Rolling Stone thought that he was of age, at least legally, to write an article, and he wasn't. I think he was like 13 years old, and he got to tour with his the heart of the 1970s. Rock and roll, dude. These guys doing drugs, chicks everywhere, every city, different girls. And this little 13-year-old was living it. And he understood it as a 13-year-old, you know, like what they did. And some of them had wives at home, but this is what they do on the road, and this is the lifestyle. And the fact that this really happened to him and he could make a movie on it, amazing. So amazing. And I think the real band was Led Zeppelin.
Really?
That he toured with. Yeah. But and it led me down a whole wormhole of finding old, you know, Rolling Stone articles that he used to write and back in the day. And
when he was a kid.
Yeah, when he's a kid.
That's cool. Again, it was so overhyped I didn't get a fair shot at it.
Can you try it again?
Well, I got to watch. I got about three other ones first.
Okay. You have that George Harrison one you want to watch too.
Oh, that's a 3-hour documentary. Yeah, I'll dip my toe into that
quite
one.
Quite the investment.
I know. But I did watch the full Eagles documentary.
Which was fantastic.
I think that was 3 days long. And it was great. I think CNN ran it over 4 weeks.
Really?
Because it was that long. It was like 2 hours tonight, 2 hours tomorrow.
Was it really that long?
It was a big thing. Yeah. It was
I feel like I did it in 2 days, but yeah. All right, you're number one. Let's go.
My number one, I still, like when the final scene of this movie's on.
It's a movie.
I go, dude, I'm ready now.
La Bamba?
But it's also given me a bit of perspective. And I think when I saw it, I went, "Oh, that's how to win." You don't have to. Yeah, not to go in attack mode. You don't have to go out and beat the other person up. That's not how to win.
How do you win then?
You attack yourself first, so they can't. If I'm knocking me down, no one else can knock me down. I'm gonna go ahead and put all my stuff out there, put it all out for everybody to see. You know, it's hard for you to punch me in the face if I'm already down.
Is it 8 Mile?
It is. 8 Mile. Yeah. Such a good movie. Freaking Eminem was in it.
And confession.
Go ahead.
I've never seen it.
Really?
No.
Oh.
I've seen some of the rap battle scenes.
The final scene with B-Rabbit. And he's like, I know you're going to talk about my mom. I know you're going to do this. And I was like, oh, holy crap. Like, that's how he got it. Like, he's about, because the other guy's about to throw it all on him. Make face like, I got him. I got B-Rabbit. I'm going to say this. And then Eminem, B-Rabbit, goes out and goes, I know you're about to say this, but let me say it first. Here's the thing I'm going to do. I know I'm the worst. And he's just boom, boom, boom. And you're going, oh, that's life.
Mm.
Let me take your power that you think you have from you, and let me use it as my strength. Because I know I suck. I know I have things about me that are weak. Let me go ahead and put them out there and show you that I'm still okay with that. And then I'm going to go and lay it down.
This one's personal to you.
Maybe so. Maybe so. When I talk about it, maybe I feel like me rapping a little bit.
It sounds like you're talking to people right now.
Yeah, that was a thing, man. What do you think, Mike, about 8 Mile?
That's a good one, yeah.
Right?
I love that movie.
And it hurt me to not put a knowledge movie at number one. It did. But I just wasn't shaken by anything as much as I was 8 Mile that's held up. I've retained knowledge from things. I told you I watched the documentary with Janis Joplin.
Yeah. And I had seen that one, by the way.
Had you?
Yeah, I saw it.
What's crazy is whenever she put out...
Me and Bobby McGee.
Me and Bobby. She was already dead.
Yeah.
She was dead. Her biggest song.
Yeah.
She was dead.
Which wasn't even hers.
It was a Chris Christopherson song, right?
Yeah.
And he didn't hear it until it was out.
Crazy, man.
But no one knows Chris Christopherson for it. I say no one. Nor me. And I'm a big music fan, and I really...
No. I think the majority of the people that like that song or even know that song don't even know that it was Chris Christopherson's.
Yeah, because I don't know that I did.
Oh, man, that documentary was heavy, I thought.
It's heavy.
It's so heavy because I just didn't know what she went through as a kid and, you know, the way that she was bullied and made fun of.
It's heavy.
But dude, she came back, and she was a star, and everyone loved her.
She just, you know, I felt bad for her because she wanted to prove everybody wrong instead of proving, and I feel like in my life now I try to prove people right more than I do people wrong.
You're doing the Marshall Mathers.
No. No, that's a whole different thing. Watch 8 Mile. You can't reference it. You've never seen it.
Oh, okay.
He's like, yeah, you know, like this.
You know, like Rabbit, man. I got you.
Like B-Rabbit's his name.
Oh, B-Rabbit?
B-Rabbit, yeah.
Okay.
But she was angry. And I think I related a lot because I was angry for – and, you know, I still have little bits there where I'm like, man, they can suck it. I really don't have a nemesis right now. It bothers me.
You need one. Can we find one for you?
I don't – it doesn't put me in – you've seen me in that super competitive
– Yes, it's not good.
It's not.
But it does drive you.
Dude, it's driven me for so long.
It drives you.
I've had nemesis everywhere I've been.
Yeah.
That have just constantly. It could have been people at school.
Mm-hmm.
It could have been teachers that I sucked. It could have been other radio shows. I don't have a nemesis now.
Yeah, you need one.
I don't want one. Because then that means someone is doing something on the level I think that we're at. I don't want anybody else on the level with where we are right now.
Well, whatever you're doing now is working.
For now, I'll have a nemesis. But I love to compete so much, but it's unhealthy for me.
Yeah.
And it's not about winning. This is about not losing.
Ooh, dude, let me ask you this. So you're not just – I mean, you're on the radio, of course, but you also – you're an author. Mm-hmm. You're a musician. No, you have a band. You're a musician. Yeah. You're an artist.
You're a musician. I just kind of dance.
Okay,
around.
You're an artist.
Okay, I'll take that.
You're a TV guy now?
Sure.
You're all these things. Dude, you can take on people from any media now.
You know, but my actual thing is radio. So
need a radio
or
nemesis?
I need some sort of way to compete in something. Like I have this burning desire to I just love the competition part of life.
I know,
and maybe because I did it for so long, and I think that's it's made me a monster a bit at times,
Is there any way you can compete without having a nemesis, you think?
No, because I don't like running. My analogy would be running. I hate running. Who am I competing against? Myself? I just go, hey, who cares? I lost, but who won? Me. Who did I lose to? Me. Yeah. You're competing against yourself. You win.
Dang, that sounds great to me.
And you lose.
That sounds great to me. You're like, I'm tired. I quit.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, I'm such a loser. But I guess also won.
Yay!
So, yeah, there you go.
Hey, I liked your list. I did like your list.
Yeah, yours is good too.
Thank you, man.
Eddie's got to go pick up his kids.
I do. My wife has a friend date tonight.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, just her and a couple other friends. They're going to paint and drink wine or something.
Oh, let me say the Sore Losers podcast is up and running.
Yeah.
It is. Did you guys do one today?
We did one today.
You may hear this a different day, so it may not be up, but I just wonder if you guys are doing them. But you guys, every day you guys talk about, is it all sports?
No. So it's funny because, you know, Lunchbox, he's the sports guy. He is the sports guy of the show. And all he wants to do is talk about sports. He wants to lead the show with sports and end it with sports. And me and Ray, we're sports fans and we love sports, but we're more of just like, hey, let's talk about, you know, going to the game. You went to the game this weekend. Like, talk about that. And Lunchbox doesn't like it. So we're having a little bit of struggle. I think we'll get it down, but we're having a struggle of what we want the show to be because we want more life and Lunchbox wants all sports.
You guys are trying to be my nemesis, maybe?
Ooh, and see, now you're talking.
Nemesis podcast.
But it's fun, dude. We're learning a lot. And I'm waiting for the right time to come to you and be like, hey, man, what do you think? But I don't want to ask you that yet.
It's also why I don't listen yet, because you guys need to figure out what you're doing right or wrong first.
Yeah.
Even if you're figuring out something wrong, you're still figuring something out.
Yeah.
You're committing to something. If you're bouncing all over the place, you haven't kind of found your footing. Sometimes you have to find your wrong footing before you can be told it's right. And there's no such thing as wrong and right. There's just more effective ways to do it. So.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a bit. Do we get there?
I thought you were going to say it's going to be a...
No. No. The only thing that is that is just, you know, keeping everyone together. Yesterday, Ray had to leave in the middle of it.
But I think it's fine that you guys can do it two-man. I know. The great part about being a three-man show is that you can even do it two-man a lot of times.
I know. I just like the three-person dynamic. Like today, I had to go, but I stuck it out, and I was really late. And
how long are they? Half an hour?
About 20 minutes is the average that we're doing right now, but today's was like almost 40 minutes.
The Sore Losers podcast. Sore as in S-O-U.
No, S-O-R-E. Yeah.
Sore.
Like we're sore. Ow, our backs are sore. Like we're getting old.
Like the O-Needers.
Yes.
You can spell it a different way. The sore. Like in your lip.
Oh, like an eagle.
The sore. Yes, the sore. Yes. Okay. That's it. Thanks for hanging with us. Thanks to Quip. And thanks to Sleep Number. And thanks to Eddie for coming by.
Thank you, man.
My musical semi-expert.
Yeah.
We probably messed up a lot of things in that, and if we did,
we're sorry.
You don't have to tell us. Yeah, we'll just apologize in advance. Mike D, thank you very much. Mike D, do you have a favorite musical movie if you had to pick one?
Spinal Tap.
Yeah. That was a classic.
I was going to put that on my list, too, because it's just influenced everything. Not even just music, but even that entire mockumentary, The Office. Like, yeah, The Office doesn't exist without Spinal Tap.
Yeah.
And that's my favorite show.
I feel like that Anvil movie, I think, was inspired by Spinal Tap.
But real life.
But real life, yeah. Spinal real Tap, life. Yes.
Yeah. That's a great one. Spinal Tap's one of my favorite movies of all time. I would have felt like a poser saying using that one, though.
I feel like I should be on everyone's list.
Yeah. All right, that's it. Thank you very much. We'll see you next time. Bye, everybody.